Would you turn with me this morning to Matthew's Gospel, the chapter we read, chapter 7, and we may think again of these two verses at 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. A simple presentation of two options. The Lord is setting these before us here this morning. We're all traveling. Life is indeed a journey. It may be for some people, for many people today, it may be a journey that's packed with fun. But the question we've got to ask is, where is it taking us to? Where is our life, or at least where are we going in life? Where is our life going? We must always ask ourselves that question about the destination board, the terminus, the target, the end. Where are we going? There are many choices that we have to make today in life. They are, some of them, quite insignificant. Some of them, on the other hand, are very weighty indeed. But there is one choice that is more serious than all others. Here this morning we're confronted with eternal issues. Here this morning we're confronted with a stark reality of two paths, and along these paths two very different and separate destinations. Spiritual matters and urgent things are presented before us in a very powerful way. We cannot afford to be neglectful, indifferent. We cannot afford to be complacent, because there is quite simply too much at risk. There is too much at stake for every one of us. Here this morning we are dealing with eternal realities then. Where are we going? What choices have we made? The destination that we're going to, it depends, yes, on the character we are. Are we right with God? The choices we make and the channel we run in. What path are we walking on today? We confront that every day, sometimes in the mail we get. They're always doing market research. They're always asking us questions. There's so often, page after page, be it from companies or from government departments, even the census we get, page after page of multiple choice questions. And so often we, although we might complain and speak out against them when we get them, we do hide behind all of these choices that have to be made. But here Jesus is stripping all that multiple choice away. Here we've got one sheet of paper. And on that sheet of paper there are just simply two boxes for us to tick. The choice is stark. The choice is simple. There's no great range of solutions or answers. There's no way we can opt out of this. We're not allowed the comfort of hiding behind the things we use today. There is one choice, because there are only two possibilities. Are we going through the broad road or are we on the narrow way? The great question that is before every one of us that the Lord quite deliberately puts before these people and ourselves today. As I indicated, the Sermon on the Mount that we have here in 5-7 of Matthew. It is admired by many people today. It's commended by many. But people who read it in a very superficial way. And they do not realize or appreciate the pointed challenges which this Sermon on the Mount, which they admire, they don't realize the pointed challenges that are there from Jesus for every one of us. Here the Lord Jesus Christ in this sermon has been setting out the kind of people and the kind of kingdom that he is going to establish and that he is going to create. All we have to do is go through the first few verses of chapter 5 and we find immediately that a change in tone between the people the Lord has and the rest of people round about is because the Lord Jesus Christ immediately goes to the center of our life. He immediately goes inside our skin. He goes to the deepest parts of our life. And there he examines us and tries us and tests us, applying simple spiritual markers and asking always the question, are we measuring up? Because if we don't measure up, we don't enter in. The Lord has been laying down all of these challenges throughout these three chapters of this sermon. And now his sermon is almost finished. But he's not content to let it rest with words spoken. He's not content just for people to listen to what he is saying. The Lord now applies it. He does not leave us where we are. He doesn't leave us comfortable in our false peace and our false hopes. Our Lord shatters these false things that we've created round about us, that we've wrapped round about us like a cloak or a blanket. The Lord shakes us and challenges us before it is too late. He piles up the challenges. From verse 13 onwards, the end of the sermon, now the application. He talks about, well, what kind of house are you building? Are you building on sand or are you building on stone? What kind of fruit are you producing in your life? Is it the fruit of a good tree or the fruit of a bad tree? He goes on to talk about, yes, what will happen on the great day and the last day when everybody stands there before the Lord in that great judgment hall. And some people will say, Lord, we did this, we did that, we did the next thing. And the Lord turned around and says, I don't know you. Stark choices. And the very first one of them is the one I want us to consider here this morning. Of this simple image of two paths stretching before us. Let's think of it then in simple ways this morning. First of all, we have a choice that is limited. There are only two possibilities set out by our Lord here. Which one is ours? It's a theme that is constantly set before us in the Scriptures. Go back, right back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. You'll find there that Moses, way back then, Moses was speaking to the people and he says, I set before you two paths. I set before you the path of life or the path of death. Joshua repeats and echoes the same theme. choose you this day. What will you serve? Who will you serve? The God of your fathers or the idols that are prolific round about you? And our Lord himself brings it home also. When he says earlier on in this sermon, quite simply, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two conflicting parties. You cannot serve God and at the same time be involved and embroiled and committed to the things of this world. A choice has to be made. And our Lord leaves us in no doubt as to the consequences of that choice. The choice then is limited. What are the choices that are set here for us? First of all, we are told about the broad road, the easy meandering avenue. An avenue and a road that has plenty of space on it for a whole variety of different opinions. People can be on this road who hold different standards of moral behavior and belief and practice. There's a great tolerance of other people on this road. Almost anything is permitted on a wide scale. There's no curbing. There's no limitations. There's no line drawn what we can think of, what we can do. People don't judge. People don't condemn. People don't criticize on this broad road. People follow their own inclinations. Whatever comes into their mind or whatever they want from their hearts. People say today, we've got to throw off and cast off the mold of traditional Christianity. It's a sign of maturity that we're growing up and we're becoming more and more human beings when we lay all these historical things to the one side and we go wherever our inclination takes us. An easy, broad road that have very few rules or regulations, very little by way of criticism or comment, where people decide on what is right and what is wrong of their own belief and their own standard of living. An easy road. We see it round about us in our own society, yes, but we even hear about it in the pronouncements that come out from public figures day after day. We're prepared to take anyone into this road, on this pathway. Anyone is welcome, as long as you don't criticize one another, as long as you don't enter into judgment against one another. It's easy. Just simply queue up and join in. The easy path. The easy road round about us today. But then there's another choice set before us. I said the choice was limited only to two options. And the second option is this one. We're told also about a straight gate or a hard way. It's a narrow path. It's a path that perhaps is difficult to find today because there are so many distractions round about us. Whenever something spiritual comes into your mind, whenever the Lord lays down a little seed of spiritual truth in your heart, whenever something lingers from a sermon or is revived out of your experience or your memory, whenever something breaks through to the surface of your life, Then there piles in at the same moment a whole deluge of distractions. There are so many false dawns. It's a hard path to find. It's a narrow path to walk when we do find it. Because here we are dealing with our souls. Here we are dealing with our spiritual relationships with God. Here we are dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christian life starts as He means it to continue. And that's important for us to grasp hold of. We have to count the cost very carefully of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to count the cost very carefully what it means to enlist on the side of Jesus and follow Him. That's why He constantly tells us about the troubles and the problems, what is there waiting for us down the road of life. It's a narrow road. It's difficult to find. It's not an easy way. But the Lord, yes, He speaks through sermons, through memories, through examples. And the Lord constantly speaks to us, looking for our enlistment on His side. But He always wants it on realistic terms. God has told us what He requires from us. He has set out a standard of belief and of practice. It's not just simply anyone and everyone that will get in. We are told that the Lord Himself is the way and the truth and the life. That is the way. The only way. There is a restriction and a limitation placed that Jesus Christ is the only name given underneath heaven whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one, the only one, who can bring us before God our Father. It's not that we all have different paths and we all have different ways of coming to God. It's not as if we've all different faiths, different teachings, have their own approach and their own arguments and their own presentations. No. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one and the only way. We don't have negotiation. We don't have room for maneuver. It is that one way only. Jesus Christ alone. And He tells us that we have no merit or goodness in ourselves. We must cast ourselves wholly upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He commands us to trust in Him. To believe in Him. That's the person who stands at the top of this pathway. And He has commanded us to commit ourselves to Him. The hard way, the narrow way, the gospel way. Because there is one great benefit that comes. There is a great benefit of spiritual refreshment, life and vigor. Whenever we go down that road with the Lord Jesus Christ, He has great blessings to bestow upon those who follow Him, trust Him, and are in His company. It's a hard path. There are many distractions. Even now, as we hear of it and the gospel is preached, even now, yes, the Lord set before us. But we find so often that there are distractions that come upon us to draw us away from Himself. We can be discouraged. We can lose sight of the way that the Lord sets before us. We can be discouraged of the one who has organized the journey. We can be discouraged when we lose sight of where we're going. The narrow way. And because it's a narrow way, we cannot take any baggage with us into it. If you can imagine the turnstiles that are at any great football match or any other kind of great gathering, these turnstiles allow one in at a time into the arena or into the gathering. You cannot take anything else in with you. No big bags or baggage. And that's the same with this pathway. The things that we hold on to that are dear and near to us. All the things that we chase after, all the things that we've held on to for so long in our life. Now Jesus Christ has the priority. He is the one, the only one, that matters in our lives. We love Him for what He has done for us. We love Him for His grace. We love Him for His mercy. We want nothing else but Him. We leave everything else behind. No baggage. And people turn round and say to you, oh, wait a minute. Just wait a minute there. Surely your life is going to be so empty. Surely your life is going to be so dull when you're giving up all of these things. No. Yes, we're giving up, but it must not mean that we're empty. We've got something much more fulfilling and satisfying. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ with us. He is the one who meets our needs and satisfies us more than anything else did before. We've looked at and we've thought of the way in which Paul sets out a great contrast. Well, there's my life, and there's all the things that I had and I held and I wanted. And he gives us a brief thumbnail sketch of his own life and his own agenda. And on the other hand, he puts one simple ingredient in the scale. And he puts one person, that I might know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. And when he balances the two out, it's no contest. He puts the things of the past into the past. And he wants only the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no baggage going through this gateway. But equally, there are no crowds. We must go through one at a time. We cannot go through as a family group. We cannot go through as part of a congregation. We cannot go through in a group of friends or pals. We go through alone, if we go through at all. We cannot hide in the shadow of someone else. We cannot go through on the coattails of anyone else. It's alone, dealing with God. We've said that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me take another of these unique sayings of our Lord. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. And that means that He is the only way in. The door, Jesus Christ. He alone is the one we have to deal with. He alone is the one we face up to. The stark realities of the gospel truth. We can go through different passages, different sermons. We can explain what the text means. But from time to time, we've got to come to this simple gospel challenge that confronts us here today. We cannot escape it. We cannot evade it. The choice is limited. The easy broad road or the narrow gospel way. Which one are we on? The choice is limited. But then, going on more quickly, we have also the travelers are identified. We are told that there are crowds on one path and there are few on the other. Now, it's a misconception because we often think that the crowds are the ones who are the happy ones and the few are the ones who are the sad ones. That's not the reality at all. Yes, the crowds on the broad road think that life is free and life is full. And they think that by trying everything that's optional before them, they're going to have a satisfying life. But the experiment always comes to the same conclusion. They may go out and try anything and everything that's on offer, but it's always the same conclusion. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And even the short-term conclusion that they have, it's also true on the long-term as well. Because where are they going? What's the destination? What is it they're facing? The travelers are identified on a broad road, and they're looking for joy, and they're not finding it. This is a busy thoroughfare. This is a busy road, packed with every kind of person or thing, laughing and carefree as they're going through life, considering themselves to be their own masters, but they're living in sin. They are living in darkness. They have the air and appearance of being happy, but scratch the surface of the many who are on this road, and you'll find that inside and down beneath, they lack an inner peace and confidence. When things get difficult for them in life, they often go to pieces and cannot cope. And especially at the prospect of death and eternity, a fearful thing to think of. I wonder if we do it. In these past days, it's come upon myself so powerfully. Do we really think? Do we really give time and space to think, what is eternity? And how prepared am I for it? How prepared are we for eternity? The many who are on this broad road, who think they're happy, who are looking for something called freedom and fullness, but they cannot find it. The demands of God constantly challenge them and confront them. The demands of God sometimes break in to their thinking. And they try to get rid of it. The many on this road, living a deluded existence, trying to find what they'll never get, and all the while moving on. That's what the advert says, does it not? Moving on. Moving on. The travelers that are identified, the many on the one road. But we're also identifying the others because we're told that there are few on the narrow way. The Holy Spirit has been at work in these people. They understand themselves and they understand something of what God is saying in the Bible and in His Son. Those that are few upon this road are the ones who have come to trust in Jesus Christ and have found the joy of forgiveness from Him and in Him. And their lives are no longer the sad existence that they once had, but they now have found a gladness and a joy that is permanent and deep and deepens every day. Jesus Christ has said it himself. I am come. Why did he come? I am come that you might have life. And he doesn't just stop there. He gives us a measure, a proportion. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. When we face the celestial city, when we contemplate meeting God, when we're going on this journey, along this road, we are singing the songs of expectation because we're marching to the promised land. We know who's waiting there for us. We know what the outcome is going to be. There is nothing going to ruffle the pond of our life. In this area, at least, the most important issue has been decided and resolved. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. There may be other things that are going to disturb me. There may be other things that are going to cause me great concern and anxiety, but this one important thing at the very center of my life, that has been solved, settled. I am now trusting and relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the company we're in. People might say, but you're only a few handful. You're only a handful of people. Yes, but wait a minute. Handful of people around whom? A handful of people around the Lord Jesus Christ. The travelers identified. The choice was limited, and we ask ourselves, what path are we on? The broad one or the narrow one? The second question from the travelers that are identified, what company are we keeping? Are we in the company of so many? Or are we in the company of these few round the Lord Jesus Christ? And then the third thought, the end is defined. Going in different directions. We're going to close in a moment with Psalm 39, and that psalm, the psalmist is asking that he might have wisdom to think of his ways and where he's going. The psalmist, echoing the parts of Scripture, brings to us, consider your latter end. Just for a moment, think of the destination you're going to. Where are you going to end up? If only society would take time out to do this. We hear in some of the football matches or some of the competitions, there's a phase, there's an experience, there's a privilege in the game called a timeout, where you can actually pause play. You can press the pause button and you can think of and you can regroup and you can rethink and you can get the coach onto the field and you can have a discussion with the players, a timeout. You press the pause button. If only we today would press the pause button on our own lives. If only we would think through, where are we going? What is the conclusion? What is the destination board of our lifestyle? Where am I going? Life is a dear journey. One day it's going to end. So often we don't like being told about that, and we certainly don't like talking about it. We often try to throw it off and just get on with life, try to enjoy life. Don't spoil it by taking the shadow of death across my living today. But we need to. We need to think of where we're going. We need to trace out our lives into the future. We need to follow through the logic of where we are now. Where will that take me then? We need to be aware of the danger we're in now, that we do something about it before we reach that destination. That's what we've got to do. We've got to do it before death confronts us, before terror grips us. We've got to do it before fear taunts us and we face darkness. The end is so clearly defined. These things have a stark and simple reality for us. Let's be in no doubt or any confusion. There are parts of the Bible that we can say we don't understand. There are passages and experiences in it that leave us totally flummoxed. Things that we cannot understand fully. And we try to hide our own lifestyle behind these doubts and fears. Let's cut through to the wire this morning. Let's get right down to the nitty-gritty of the things that we do understand and we can read and we do relate to. The choice is limited. The travelers are identified. The end is defined. We're on a journey then. Where will our life take us? It's a very solemn, simple question. What company we're in and what end we will reach. We have a responsibility because we're told we must enter in. Enter in. Which path are we on then? Where are we today? We have been presented with the gospel today. We've known it from days gone by. Perhaps we've on many occasions chosen to stay amongst those on the broad road. The responsibility is placed before us as the gospel presentation is given. We must ask ourselves, where are we going? We try to be uncommitted. You know the way in which these boxes, yes, no, don't know. Three boxes. The Lord doesn't give us a third box to tick. There's only two. Yes, no. The broad road, the narrow road. That's the echo that comes into our lives from God's word to us this morning. Where are we? Do we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we resting in Him and trusting in Him? Are we putting our soul's spiritual eternal interests in His hand, relying upon Him as our Savior and our God? We must constantly remind ourselves then of this destination board. We must constantly remind ourselves of where life's journey may end. Which one of these two destinations will we be in? And the choice, the broad road or the narrow road? Which one are we on today? What is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we trusting in Him? Or are we going our own way, deluded on this broad road where anything goes? But if we say anything goes, let's just finish it through. Anything goes to a great destruction. But the narrow way leads to a great city where God is pleased to be amongst and to be with His people. Which is it for us?
Let us pray.
O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy rich and gracious blessing to come upon thy word again as we've heard it this morning. We pray for thy blessing to come upon this gospel message. And we ask that thou wouldst speak to us individually and personally of the things that we need to hear. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst speak to our souls of the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Take away the distractions of things that are going on round about us and in our own lives. And we pray, Lord, that we might hear the still small voice of our God deal with us. Forgive us for our faults and our failings, even in the highest privileges of service. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close this morning by singing from Psalm 39, as we said, and at verse 4, the prayer that the psalmist had, and we can see its significance in the light of what we've been just thinking about. Mine end, there it is, the destination board. Mine end, and measure of my days, there it is, the journey we're on. Mine end and measure of my days, O Lord, unto me show, what is the same, that I thereby my frailty well may know. Lo, thou my days an handbreadth made, mine age is in thine eye as nothing. Sure each man at best is holy vanity. Sure each man walks in a vain show, they vex themselves in vain. He heaps up wealth and doth not know to whom it shall pertain. That's the experience of the broad road. And now at verse 7, and now, O Lord, what wait I for? My hope is fixed on thee, the narrow way. Free me from all my trespasses, the fool's scorn make not me.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.